Welcome to the podcast for the weekend of September 8, 2023. This week we pray for those who continue to mourn the memory of those who were lost on September 11, 2001, and for innocents everywhere who are caught in acts of war, violence, and misdeeds. Our first reading is from Ezekiel chapter 33. So you, son of man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, that person shall die in his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. Our next reading is from Romans chapter 13. The Apostle Paul writes, "Let every person be subjected to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law." Our next reading is from Matthew chapter 18. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world for temptations to sin, for it is necessary that temptations come, but woe to the one by whom the temptation comes. And if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than with two hands or two feet to be thrown into the eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into the hell of fire. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. And the reading for our discussion is from Luke chapter 6. On a Sabbath, while he was going through the grain fields, his disciples plucked and ate some heads of grain, rubbing them in their hands. But some of the Pharisees said, "Why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath?" And Jesus answered them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God and took and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priests to eat, and also gave it to those with him. And he said to them, 'The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath.' On another Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched him to see whether he would heal on the Sabbath, so that they might find a reason to accuse him. But he knew their thoughts, and he said to the man with the withered hand, 'Come and stand here.' And he rose and stood there. And Jesus said to them, 'I ask you, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to destroy it?' And after looking around at them all, he said to him, 'Stretch out your hand.' And he did so, and his hand was restored. But they were filled with fury and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus. In these days, he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples and chose from them 12, whom he named apostles: Simon, whom he named Peter, and Andrew, his brother, and James, and John, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, who is called the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. And he came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured, and all the crowd sought to touch him, for the power came out from him and healed them all. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples, and he said, 'Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for so their fathers did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you. And from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. He also told them a parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye," when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. What do you do on a Sunday? Throughout my life, unless I was incredibly sick, I always started the day out with going to church, and then the rest of the day was a day of rest. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. That's the commandment, the third commandment. The cycle of a week was created by God. In 6 days, God created everything, and on the seventh day, he rested. This model is a gift for us. My understanding is that for Jews, the Sabbath was Saturday, which is our seventh day of the week. In Scripture, the model for each day was evening and then morning, so the Sabbath would begin on Friday evening and go to the following day. For the Christian, we observe the Sabbath on Sunday, the first day of the week. We observe things in that manner because Jesus rose on the first day of the week. It was on a Sabbath, a Saturday, that Jesus was going through the grain fields with his disciples, plucking and eating heads of grain. In the Scriptures, my understanding is that those who farmed were to leave some grain in the fields for those who might be passing through, rather than harvesting every possible head of grain. When the Pharisees criticized them for doing what was seen as work on a Sunday, Jesus mentioned their forefather David and others with him, who entered the house of God and ate the bread of presence, which was only lawful for the priests to eat. It appears that the same event is recorded in Mark chapter 2, verses 23 to 28. This is what Jesus told them: "The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." This is the whole statement from Mark. And he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." I've been coaching cross country, and these students are beginning runners. To get them used to continuously running, I encourage them to make goals of running at first 5, then 10, then 15 minutes of running. For those who run a lot, this doesn't seem like a lot, but it's a big task for kids who are not used to running. There are parts of the loop that I have them run where I cannot see them running, and so they might do some sort of shuffling to kind of bend the idea of running without stopping. They will ask me when they get done, "Coach, is this walking?" Now, this is all very innocent. And I have to say, it sure looks a lot like walking. But when we talk about actual sins, we often look for justifications and exceptions regarding our habits. Look at how you keep the Sabbath. What is the Sabbath for? It is for worship. It is also for rest. There may be some Sabbaths where we don't worship and we don't rest, or we do one but not the other. We worship and then spend the whole day at work, only to go back and repeat the next week. Or we don't worship, but we spend the day playing. In Exodus chapter 16, Israelites went out to gather manna on the Sabbath, and there was none. Moses chastised them for not keeping God's command, as he had provided enough on the sixth day to feed them on the Sabbath as well. We might look at that Sabbath and say, it's my only day to play. It's my only day to sleep in. We may also look at it and say, if I don't work, I will get fired. There are always options, other ways of doing things. The Sabbath was a gift from God. When God was honored in days past, more stores were closed on the day of rest, which was Sunday. Have you ever taken a vacation, going, and then came back exhausted? Well, we all need a day of rest, but it is well to worship and rest on that day, on the Sabbath day. Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath, and he says that God made the Sabbath for man and not the man for the Sabbath. This tells us that this was a gift from God for us. In worshiping, we connect with God and feed our souls. In resting, we recharge our bodies to be able to get through another week so we don't get burned out. There is no law as to when we have to observe the Sabbath, so we may find that we have to take a day for worship and rest on another day of the week. Jesus restored a man with a withered hand on the Sabbath, showing that he is the Lord of healing. The Pharisees really were angered that Jesus challenged their power and their expertise. He defied them when he healed this man on the Sabbath. Again, Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath, and the Sabbath is his. Here in Luke chapter 6, we now have the full complement of Jesus' main disciples. The first in the list is Peter, with the last being Judas Iscariot. The list here basically lists them in order of importance. Interestingly, John, the disciple Jesus was close with, who was apparently a cousin, was fourth in the list, and Matthew, another gospel writer, was seventh. Then Jesus goes out to minister to a large crowd of people. They seek to touch him because power would go out of him and heal them. There are some personality types who need to constantly be around people. They're what we call extroverts, and there are others for whom being around people is very draining. Think of how draining it would be to encounter these situations. Yet, Jesus is both God and man. When he needed to, he would withdraw by himself to recharge. Luke also records material from the Sermon on the Mount, which is also found in detail in the book of Matthew. There are the blessed sayings, the Beatitudes, which show the difference between what life is like on earth versus what life is like with God and living in God's ways. Here, Luke says, "Blessed are the poor," but Matthew expands it to the poor in spirit. This is not just a physical, social ladder distinction, but when one says poor in spirit, we understand that that condition is not good, especially for those who long to be with God and to be separated from fallenness. The sayings are paradoxes compared to what we generally experience on earth. The blessed sayings are followed by woes. Woe to you who are rich, who are full now, who laugh now, when all people speak well of you. This is not to say that a person can't be any of these things, but the focus is on those who live a carefree life without considering the things of God or the needs of their neighbor. The next section focuses on loving our enemies and turning the other cheek when they strike us. We would tend to live with an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but Jesus shows us that loving our enemies can be radical. However, it is often a powerful witness like this that can cause an enemy to be completely changed and transformed to see that what they are doing is wrong. Some will never see that because they are twisted, but others will be transformed by grace. We see just such an example when we look at the life of St. Paul. Christ came even to save the wretched out of sin, and God is merciful beyond our deserving. We might wonder how God can be that way, but we see it better when we look at an instance where our children might go astray. We would do anything to turn them around and to save them out of their troubles. So it is as God seeks the lost. Luke chapter 6, verse 37 is often used today to justify sin. We think of those first words, "judge not." In Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, the saying is, "judge not, that you not be judged." And it continues. But I focus on what Luke says here. The full saying in Luke is, "judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." So, are we supposed to look at other sins and not warn them that they are sinning or going down a very bad path? We had that passage from Ezekiel in the readings here, and it actually said that we should warn others of their sins. But the point here is not to tolerate sin. The point is that dealing with sin is God's place. Crimes and civil issues shall be dealt with by the authorities. But we can all think of times when we told someone not to do something and then we went and did it ourselves. We don't have the right to judge or to condemn. That is in the realm of God. God does want us to gently correct our neighbor, our family, and our children. With the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Is a reminder that if we are overly harsh with people, we may be dealt with the same harshness when we sin and err. And this passage also encourages generosity. Generosity in giving, generosity in spirit toward one another. A person must have instruction in God's ways, which are different from our ways. When Jesus talks about the speck in our brother's eye versus the log in our own, he is talking about hypocrisy. Each person must deal with his or her own troubling sins because they weigh us down and encumber us like great logs and weights. Once we deal with our own sin, we can see clearly to encourage others to do well. And hypocrisy does not help us in reaching them. Just as Genesis pointed out that seeds produce according to their kinds, Jesus applies this to our actions. Good people produce good fruit, and the evil produce more evil. Jesus wants us to look to him and bear good fruit in our lives. Finally, Jesus talks about a man who builds his house on a foundation of rock. And this, again, is about looking to Jesus, looking to God in our lives. When one does that, the home is not undermined. The man who builds on sand or unstable ground with no good foundation will see the house fall. When I went to help with those rebuilding after Hurricane Katrina years ago, the house we were working on had been in an area where the surge came in. The surge lifted the entire house off its foundation, and a crane had to be brought in to put the framed house back on the foundation. Fortunately, the foundation was not washed away. The situation was salvageable. Even if the walls ended up on the foundation not being very even. On the beach areas, where the buildings were built on sand, however, even brick buildings and seemingly solid roads were destroyed. Water came and undermined the sand beneath these structures. Roads and buildings collapsed from their own weight. Brick walls that had no lower support would then collapse. The upper parts of the brick walls might remain attached to some framing, but the mortar would break at a certain point from the weight of the bricks, leaving only a few feet of brick higher up on the frame. Jesus is reminding us that it is important to build on a good foundation in life. In that foundation is Him. That foundation is God's Word. Here, we're building on the foundation of God's Word and Jesus' teachings. This foundation is rock on which we can build a solid life. When we build on worldly things, those things will fail us. They will be undermined. Which brings us full circle to the Sabbath. We need to build our week on a good foundation. When we observe the Sabbath, we hear God's word, and God restores us in our souls for another week. When we rest, our physical body recharges and restores. In God, we have good things. God gives us the best things in life, and in Him, we have a good foundation. Trusting in Him will always give us a better life, whatever comes. But we also know that in Him, in Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, give me a strong foundation for living in Your Son, Jesus. Teach me Your ways and guide me through life. Amen. We continue with additional prayers. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we pray for those who continue to mourn the memory of those who were lost on September 11, 2001. And we pray for those who still continue in the trauma of that event. We pray that You comfort and care for them. And we pray, Lord, for innocents everywhere who are caught in acts of war, violence, and misdeeds. Lord, we pray for those requiring healing of any kind, mental, physical, for those requiring surgery, for those who are rehabilitating, for those who are lonely, who mourn, who long for the grace, mercy, healing, and forgiveness that only You can give through Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, by the work of Your Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for Thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen. Our special verse this week is from Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. All of our scriptures, all of our verses come from the English Standard Version of Scripture.
Built on the rock. Built on the rock. Built on the rock. Built on the rock, the church shall stand. Even when steeples are falling, crumbled half spires in every land, bells still are chiming and calling, calling the young and old to rest, but above all the soul distress, longing for rest everlasting. Surely in temples made with hands, God the Most High is not dwelling. High above earth His temple stands, all earthly temples excelling, yet He who dwells is to live with us in love, making our bodies his temple. We are God's house, God's living stones, built for his own habitation. He through baptismal grace us owns, heirs of his wondrous salvation. And his favor. Here stands the font before our eyes, telling how God has received us. The altar recalls Christ's sacrifice, and what his supper here gives us. Here sound the scriptures that proclaim Christ yesterday, today the same, and evermore our Redeemer. Grant then, O God, church bells are ringing, many in saving faith may come, where Christ his message is bringing. I know my own, know me, you not the world my face shall see. My peace I leave with you. Amen.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. I have seen him in the watchfires of 100 circling camps. They have builded him an altar in the evening dews and damps. I can read his righteous sentence by the dim and flaring lamps. His day is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. Glory, glory, alleluia. Glory, glory, alleluia. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea. Glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us die to make men free. While God is marching on. Glory. Yeah.